This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake discuss the goodness of Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega 2. Want more great coverage from ProWrestling.net, including an exclusive audio review of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view and ad-free access to the website? Yeah, you do. You totes do. Go to ProWrestling.net, hit up the membership link, and for as low as $5.50 a month if you want to take the annual option, just lock it in for a year, you can get that ProWrestling.net membership. Just want to try it out for a month? $7.50 for a month. Guys, it's a great deal. Ad-free access to the site and all of our audio reviews, including all of our archived audio. And now, enjoy the show. So, Jake, as we were getting started to record this show today, actually, just before we went to record, I went to plug in my laptop that I usually record on. Standard, normal thing. Plug it into the power strip underneath my bookcase. No big deal. I think I'm fine. I then turn on said laptop and go to get on the internet and realize, oh man, I somehow am not at all connected to the internet. What happened? Instead of assuming that the obvious had happened and I had knocked the power cable out of reach, I proceed to just like search through everything else I possibly can. I forget where I actually put my modem on, like, my little bookcase tech setup. I can't find a thing. Finally, I realize my modem's unplugged. I go to plug it in. It takes forever to restart. And, Jake, that's why I'm 20 minutes late to this recording session.
Yeah, you know, tech is not fun.
Power cables are dumb.
I work in tech for a living, and I can confirm that it's less than... When it's not working right, it's like the worst thing in your life. And then it can be magic on the other end of the equation. So,
how many phone calls do you get a day that are like what I just said to you?
I mean, not that specific, but yeah, I mean, you get, you know, I kicked a power cord and then I literally reset everything in my house and it's still not working. It happens.
Yeah, that's basically where I just was. I feel ashamed. Also, I work with a bunch of technological gear, like video stuff as well, and I'm like, what would I have done at work? Probably the same thing. Kicked a dumb power cord and then been like, why doesn't anything work? And never gone and looked at my video router. So, in short, everyone, this is to tell you I'm stupid.
Well... technology foobars are practically just part of life now. It's something we all go through.
So, Jake, this episode is actually to talk about a beautiful work of art that occurred over the weekend in New Japan. Jake, Okada versus Omega 2. It was, dare I say, like a perfect sequel to their Wrestle Kingdom 11 match. I know people heard us fawn about that match right after it happened and talk about how great it was. Okada versus Omega 2, I don't want to compare them. Like, I actually have a piece coming out today that is basically saying, it's stupid to compare these. We don't need to rank them. We don't need to say which is better. Let's just look at it as a sequel and say, holy crap, these two artists are the freaking greatest. What'd you think of the match?
I mean, not a ton to disagree with. I mean, about the match, like it's hard to like pick it apart, you know, even if you wanted to be nitpicky about it. I mean, it was, I enjoyed it quite a bit better than the first match. And this just boils down to my preference about, you know, wrestling storytelling. I think they, you know, because of the time that they filled, you know, being a 60-minute draw, I think they paced it out better than they did the match at Wrestle Kingdom. And I think, and this again is down to how you feel about wrestling in general and what you enjoy and what you don't. But I think neck bumps are horrific, and I don't want to see anybody do them. And I think there were just one too many of them in their first match for me. And I think they managed to tell an even better story without doing some of the spots that made it look like they were killing each other in the first match. So I was immensely impressed with the effort. It was hard not to be. And, you know, these two continue to show that they have, you know, possibly the best chemistry between two performers in wrestling right now.
I was reminded watching it of like The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and their two WrestleMania matches, kind of just the way those matches played on each other. And there were moments like Undertaker about to go for the dive and then Michaels tripping him, and it playing off of the fact that Undertaker almost died doing a dive at 25. There were moments in Okada versus Omega 2 that played off of their first match in that same way. Spoiler alert, in case anyone didn't know or is listening to this and wanted to watch the match and wasn't aware, they went to a 60-minute draw. And I should say, first of all, that's impressive. Jake, I hate 60-minute matches. Wrestling matches should not go 60 minutes. It's boring. It's not exciting. It's not fun. No one likes it. And I loved this. Like, I'm fawning about a match that if I had just read the results online, I would have hated.
Did I lose you, Will?
Oh, I'm here. Sorry, that was one of the awkward times where I just stopped talking and expect you to fill in.
Okay. Well, you know, honestly,
I can't believe I still get you with those. It's been it's been almost 6 years.
I get like, man, am I supposed to be like vamping here? What am I supposed to be doing? But honestly, yeah, I can't. I mean, I'm thinking through this match in my mind, and you know, I went. There were parts of it, you know, that really, you know, stood out to me in terms of just incredible. Like, I didn't even hate the interference this time.
No,
like, you know, normally in these matches, I'm like, you know, the Bullet Club gets involved, and I'm like, you know, that kind of moves it down a notch in my, you know, my opinion of it in some extent, because I think, you know, it's kind of worn thin a bit. Like, it was kind of fresh and interesting when the Bullet Club were, you know, sort of introducing some of these Western wrestling components into New Japan. And you know, I kind of got fatigued with it. But in this case, I enjoyed it. And, you know, I think, you know, the Rainmakers looked incredible, and Kenny Omega's knees looked incredible.
Especially at the end. Like, the moments of Omega against the ropes, trying to summon like the energy to run for a running knee strike, and he just walks a couple in and they land, and he goes back and he finally hits the running one. They got so much out of so little there. Three knee strikes. One, it probably filled like a minute, but there was drama in every second of it. You never knew when he was going to take off, and you kind of knew that he would. You knew he would eventually hit the running one, but it took so much for it to happen. It reminded me of when you read a good story or a good book, and for the protagonist, everything is supposed to be hard. Every moment is supposed to be hard. And when things feel easy, they're supposed to take a sharp left turn to make it difficult. And for both men, it felt that way. I found myself honestly asking, what would it take? Like, I almost like, you know, my inner 1998 Jim Ross came out, and I was like, what's it going to take for one of these guys to go down? And I'm sitting there watching with Japanese commentary, because I'm not the kind of monster that watches Kevin Kelly commentate matches. And I'm just losing it. And I'm like, oh, the commentators are too. I'm good. Wrestling is universal.
It is. Yeah. I watch with the Japanese commentary as well, even though I heard from numerous people that that Cyrus actually did a really good job down the stretch in this match, but I haven't gone back to watch it again to know. But honestly, you know, I think that's true. Like, you know, you get the emotional beats from the Japanese announcers perfectly, and they come through without any need for translation. And so that part of it is kind of interesting to absorb, you know, as a fan. Like, I wonder if there are, you know, fans who don't understand English that well, who have some fond memories of Jim Ross calls, even though they have you know, they didn't really understand it that well at the time. It's just one of those things about wrestling where, you know, you're really not focusing too much on what's being spoken as much as just kind of keying your own emotional feedback loop off of the tone of the announcing in some ways.
Yeah, I think so. I do really think there's something to that. And I kind of wonder if English commentary is more enjoyable if you can't understand it.
Well, in a modern context, I think the way that a lot of U.S. promotions these days do commentary, I almost think that must be true, just because when you really have to listen to it and understand it, it's difficult to get excited about it because so much of it is just spoon feeding you useless information.
Although I'm sure there are moments where it's like, why is JBL yelling? Breezango is just dancing. Why is he yelling?
Yeah, that would be interesting if you were like a, you know, English as a second or third language and you didn't quite understand everything that was being spoken, and you're like trying to match what's going on with the emotional tone of the announcing, and you're like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know why I'm supposed to think this is exciting. It would be bizarre.
So back to this match. You mentioned the Bullet Club interference. There's this great moment where it looks like Omega is calling Cody Rhodes and the Bullet Club out to throw in the towel for him. And the Young Bucks hold Rhodes back. They won't let him throw it in. And he's arguing, I have to. He's telling me to, I have to. This is what's supposed to happen. And finally, Omega is able to make a big comeback right after this moment, and you kind of have the Bullet Club at ringside for the rest of the match at this point, and they don't get too involved. Like, that to me was the crux of their interference, was basically that, and I watched that, and I thought there were so many stories told in that, especially when you consider the next IWGP Championship shot is Cody Rhodes, and it's in Long Beach. Jake, I've got to ask you, do you think there's any chance they put the IWGP title on Cody and make him kind of the ultimate heel? He's undeserving. Okada was worn down from this encounter with Omega. If they kind of tell the story that Cody doesn't deserve it, but found a way, and he stole the win that should have been Kenny Omega's, and build up to maybe those two clashing at some point.
Yeah, I think it really... Like, I would need a more compelling reason than that to take the championship off of Okada at this point. But
he's
having
one of the greatest title reigns in wrestling history.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right, that there is an interesting story to tell there if you were to, you know, have a fluke title win for Cody, and then, you know, you set up a rivalry between him and Omega, and then, you know, maybe Omega can capture the championship from Cody, and then you set up a third sort of rubber match where the shoe's on the other foot for Omega, and he has to, you know, he has to retain at Wrestle Kingdom or something, you know, in the final match of that series.
That could be really fun. And a great little twist to make the trilogy a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, so, you know, Omega still feels like he has something to prove, even though he's champion, because he never beat Okada himself. You know, it's kind of an interesting dynamic there, especially for, you know, a dome show, because they really put the production values through the roof for those. So I would be interested to see that. But, you know, I don't know if it makes financial sense for New Japan. You know, Okada is their biggest draw, and I would think him headlining shows as champion might be better for them, you know, overall. But that's, you know, from a booking standpoint, maybe, you know, you could justify it just as a, you know, this is going to be a thing we're going to try for, you know, 3 to 6 months and until we get back to Wrestle Kingdom, and maybe it works out that way. But it is an interesting idea, and I've seen it pitched more than once, you know, online by various people.
I find it especially interesting considering how much of a babyface Kenny Omega came off as in this match. And it's not just I watch and cheer for Omega. I like him. I want to see him succeed. But I think it was really easy to watch this match and cheer for Kenny Omega. He, you know, there was so much sympathy on him. I mean, Jake, I don't know that I've been more heartbroken watching a wrestling match in the last, like, 5 years than I was when Omega hit the One-Winged Angel which he never hit during the Wrestle Kingdom match. It never happened. One of the big stories of that match was Omega couldn't get that move on Okada. He hits the move, and Okada gets to the ropes. And I'm just like, no! Oh, God, why? This match was great. I can't recommend it to people listening enough. Go get New Japan World. Watch both of these matches and experience them. Like, if you're at all frustrated with what modern wrestling is in a lot of ways, you need to watch this match because it will reinvigorate something inside you that's like, yeah, wrestles are cool.
I mean, it's the best storytelling in the ring, of 2017 by far.
Yeah.
In both of their matches. I mean, they both tell magnificent stories.
And don't be scared away by the 60-minute draw, folks. It's worth it. It's worth it. Yeah, all 60 of those minutes.
And I think they paced it in a way where you never really felt, there was a point where the drama had sort of subsided. I mean, there were definitely, slower points of the match from an action standpoint. But if anything, they really used them well to ratchet up the drama. And so I think there was a better effort to tell, a dramatic story in this match, whereas Wrestle Kingdom was, we're going to go balls to the wall and have the craziest match we possibly can, because that match was significantly more dangerous to their health.
Yeah, it was.
For both of them.
And this was just exhausting. It's funny. I didn't realize until there was about 2 minutes left that we were nearing the 60-minute time limit because I wasn't watching in English. So I'm like, oh, they're making a lot of... Oh... Like, I suddenly, registered what the time call was, and I was like, oh, man, no, it was great. This is
almost better that way, really.
Yeah, because it was a surprise.
You feel like you got your heart ripped out at the end, which is, I think, the point entirely.
Yeah.
Oh. No matter really who you were rooting for, and it's kind of interesting to see, like you mentioned, Omega being a baby face in this instance to us, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case to New Japan fans in Japan. He may not be the favorite son there, but it's similar to what WWE is doing with Orton and Mahal, a lot less effectively, at least in my opinion. But I'm not speaking from the perspective of a fan in India either. So I'm really interested to see people kind of compare them when all said and done. Clearly the match quality isn't anywhere. I mean, it's not even in the same universe, but from a storytelling perspective, they're kind of going for the same thing.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. I also kind of feel like, in a way, that you'll laugh at this a little bit. I think I said it on Twitter too, but Lana's like Cody Rhodes, Naomi is Okada, and Charlotte is Kenny Omega. And I feel like the SmackDown Women's Championship might end up being the IWGP Championship in a way here in a couple weeks.
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show where we preview Money in the Bank. Jake, normally I would ask you what's making you happy in wrestling this week at the end of this show, and I will. Mine is just this match. I don't have anything else. Like, this is just phenomenal. Jake, what's making you happy?
I'm going on vacation, so it's not really a wrestling thing, but I head out of town on Friday, and I'll be gone for a week, and I'm really looking forward to that. But in wrestling, it's definitely this match. There was nothing else better in the past week by any stretch of the imagination.
How could you go on vacation on Money in the Bank weekend? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I need a vacation. That's about all it is.
I'm sure you deserve it. How about we get a Money in the Bank preview out of the way, and then we can send you on your merry way?
Sounds awesome.
We'll have that for you tomorrow, folks. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.